employer.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, starting out the second hour talking really about the conventional markets with Chris Temple. Chris has a newsletter called The National Investor. Chris is a very, very interesting guy. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Chris, I put up something on our website yesterday that I thought was really intriguing, to say the least, and it had to do with an article that was in oh gosh, Market Watch. And in the Market Watch article, they were talking about the fact that it looks like we could be in the beginning of a bear market, simplistically speaking, for the conventional market. I thought it was interesting. I put it up on our site. We got some interesting comments about it. You kind of addressed this issue in your July 19th issue of the National Investor when you said, quote, "Interestingly, we are being confronted with the fact that the U.S. economy is slowing markedly." Let's chat about that, man.
Well, what's interesting, Al, is that I don't think it's any great secret that the stock market has managed, as measured by the Dow and the S&P 500 anyway, to hit nominal new highs at the same time that the economy hasn't done that well and is doing worse. I mean, the final number for first quarter growth was 1.8%. It's fairly widely acknowledged now that the second quarter is going to be lucky to see half that number. We may even be about at the flat line. Now, what does this mean? It means that, and I think that this was finally driven home. I've been saying this, you know this, I said this incessantly.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be no tapering by the Federal Reserve. Ben Bernanke is not going to mothball part of his fleet of helicopters. He pretty much told the House and the Senate that this past week. He stressed again and again and again since June, when the markets, I believe, misunderstood him and overreacted, that if the Fed's perfect case, perfect world, rosy scenario for the economy does not come about, and it's not, and he said to the Congress this week that things have changed since June, then they are not going to start tapering in September. And I've said it, I'll say it again, before they cut back on their $85 billion a month that they're spending on buying treasury paper and mortgage paper, they'll probably increase it because the economy on its own cannot grow any further. It's still too leveraged. Consumers are still too strapped. That's the fact of life. Now, you put against that the fact that this QE is going to continue, and there's still a lot of money out there. Money managers have to put money to work.
Right.
Investors, to some extent, have to put money to work. What do they do? And here's a theme I'm really starting to talk about again in just the last few weeks. Back in the 2000 time frame, when we were seeing a peak in the momentum craze and the tech stocks, the dot-com stocks and things like that, we had a general market blow-off. What a lot of people have already forgotten is that at the same time when we saw from 2000 to 2002 that the stock market got hammered, I mean, tech stocks lost three-quarters of their value, the major market average is 30 to 40%, during that same time frame, we started bull markets for many sectors, even as the rest of the market and the overall stock exchanges were coming down. Resource stocks, housing stocks, a lot of value stocks that in 1998, 1999, investors wouldn't give them the time of day because all the money was momentum money coming into sectors. It was going into index funds and that type of thing. And so people that could see the shift coming to where investors were actually going to start acting like investors again and say, okay, with the tech stocks and the dot-coms, we overdid it, but there's still a lot of money here. What do we do? They looked around, found housing stocks at the beginning of a big housing boom that had price-earnings ratios of 4 and 5. They found resource stocks at the end of a 20-year bear market. And I could mention others as well, but those are two huge examples.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that relate to today? I'm not saying we're going to have a 30 or 40% crash today. It's always possible. The market's overdue generally for a correction, but there's still a pile of money out there.
Mm-hmm.
It is invested and needs to be invested. People are getting a little bit leery with bonds. My belief is that the spike we've seen recently in interest rates for the time being is over, and we'll see some equilibrium for a while. But investors now are going to be confronted with kind of a pattern of what we saw during the 2000 crash, but the names are going to be different. All right. What we've seen for the recent past is that a lot of investors have got disgusted with the market because value investing hasn't worked. Good companies, whether it's in resources, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's basic type of, you know, bread and butter, basic economy stuff, people don't give them the time of day. They're all chasing momentum. They're all buying the index funds. A lot of the same pattern now because of all of this tailwind that the Fed has given us. Well, that was based now on the assumption that the general economy was going to do well going forward. Now we're learning it's not. The rest of the world is in recession pretty much. And so now people need to step back and say, wait, we're not going to get this perfect world the Fed talked about. That's why they can't start tapering. We're not going to get back to 3 or 4% growth. We'll be lucky to have any growth with the U.S. economy, maybe even through the balance of the year. So what do we do with our money? Number one, there are sectors that have been hit 20, 30, 40% recently that got hit because of this fear that interest rates were going to go up dramatically. So you've got a lot of good, solid companies that are on sale right now, pay good dividends, and I think most of them will at least hold their own, even if the stock market overall did have a 10 or 20% correction. I started adding some of those names to my list for subscribers this week. It's a little early for resources yet to be included in that, but I'll tell you what's coming down the road is that if this scenario that I'm describing, this environment, Al, unfolds, we'll see not only the Fed but other central banks print even more money with incrementally less impact, not only for the economy, that's already a given. The economy's done little for a few trillion bucks worth of, you know, the Fed's balance sheet. If that continues and bonds and stocks even down the road come into question, investors will be forced back into stuff that they can put their money into that may be about the only thing left to save their purchasing power. Yeah. And, you know, another quick history lesson, that was a decision investors had to make in the late 70s when all of a sudden the Fed got so carried away back then trying to print money that back then they created double-digit inflation. We won't have to get to double-digit inflation, at least what the Fed admits, this time around to see a resurgence in commodities. So first we're going to see dividend names. We're going to see good, solid mom-and-pop companies. I think that Bernanke's take this week on the Fed's not going to taper right away and may not do it at all, I think that has helped put a floor under gold. As you and I are talking, it's kind of like a coiled spring. It wants to go above 1,300, can't quite do it, but it may. We're going to see that, and we're going to see energy lead the way. And down the road, and I've said this before, down the road, commodities will have a broader comeback, not because the central banks and all their money printing have succeeded in turning the global economy around, but because they have failed. And that these things will be the only thing left with value to put your money into.
Well, I think that's a really good point. You know, I have to say in the third segment of the show, Jay Taylor and I discussed gold a little bit, but then segued into the resource sector companies. And I have to agree with something Jay said, because I've been saying it for a long time also, and that is I personally think we're seeing a real turn right now in the resource sector. I think we're just in the beginning of it. Do you agree with me or disagree with me on that one?
I agree somewhat on that. I think that gold as a commodity, because it's more than a commodity, it's money. I think energy already, they will lead the way. You're going to have to be very, very selective, though, because we still see some headwinds for basic commodities. Copper, nickel, iron ore, things like that, I'd be scared to death of those now because the risks for the global economy are still toward recession and even the global depression.
Yeah.
So gold is okay in that scenario. Some energy areas are okay in that scenario. A lot of the basic materials, especially that build cities, and it's too early for those, in my view.
I think we're seeing a change in the resource sector, though, and I have to tell you, in terms of the conventional markets, you know, what I'm reading between the lines and what I'm hearing you say is that may not be the best place to be right now. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Our Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. Okay, got Michael Schlumberger on the line with me right now. Michael is the Chief Operating Officer of Passport Potash. Was on the show earlier this week talking a little bit about himself in the context of what he's doing for Passport and talking a little bit about updating the company. I asked Michael if he would come back and on the weekend show, because I think too many people out there don't really understand the importance importance that that potash plays to our the agricultural element of our society, but also to other elements of our society. And I think too many people don't realize that this particular mineral is really in short supply in the United States. We import, if I'm not mistaken, out of a total demand of about 9 million tons, Michael, we only produce about 1 million tons in the United States, leaving an 8 million ton shortfall. That's a ton of potash, bud.
That's an awful lot of potash. That is correct. And like you say, only about 1 million tons produced in the United States, primarily in New Mexico and a little bit in Utah and a little bit in Michigan. And certainly that leaves the door wide open for domestic producers.
Yeah, it really does. Before we get perhaps another update on PPI, Passport Potash, I really would like to get a bit of a synopsis from you as to the ABCs of what potash is and why it's important.
Well, certainly. Potash, of course, I think most people realize is a potassium salt, and it's important to the plant. It serves as a regulator for the plant. It basically is involved with the absorption in water. It raises resistance to infections, boosts strength to the plant. You know, used in combination with other fertilizers, it's very instrumental in increasing yields. You know, the good thing with this as well is there's also some industrial uses, and paper, pharmaceutical, detergents are also users of potash. In fact, we had a customer once come through from Japan, and they told us that even plasma TVs had a small amount of potash in them.
Isn't that interesting? You know, on this particular site, Michael, everybody's pretty focused on gold and silver, you know, and obviously certain other base metals, but I don't think enough people really realize the importance of the asset that you folks are working with down there. Now, I have to say my interest in your company stems from the fact that, number one, there aren't a lot of roadblocks in your way, so to speak, in terms of turning your property into a producing potash mine. Okay, and the property is in Arizona. It basically is in Holbrook. The town of Holbrook is behind you guys 1,000% because you're going to provide them with a fairly significant, relatively speaking, amount of employment in the area. The company, I guess I should say, has done everything right in terms of putting together agreements with the various people living in the area, which includes the Hopi Indian tribe. Now, this has been a long time coming. You know, as one of our listeners commented, Michael, after you and I did a brief overview as to what was going on currently with Passport Potash, one of our listeners commented and said, you know, this company really is the little engine that could, in the sense that you guys have been working on that property for a long, long time. Now, along those lines, one thing that you've done that I think is very commendable is in terms of financing, providing financing for the company. If I'm not mistaken, a large amount of the capital has come from the individual wallets of a number of the insiders, specifically officers and directors. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I personally, if I were in your shoes, Michael, I would be very, very comfortable in working, you know, along with a team of people like that. Having said that, I'd like you to do me a favor, and for our radio listeners, tell us a little bit, if you would, about what you guys are doing in the area of Holbrook and what you're going to be doing down there over the course of the next year or so.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we're working on right now is our pre-feasibility study, and we've had some meetings. For the pre-feasibility study, we're going to use Urquhartsplan. Urquhartsplan was the people that did the PEA for us, so they've got a large amount of familiarity with the program. We had a meeting with them, I believe it was last month, and we sat down and started working on some things. Our geologist has currently prepared a bunch of samples for us, and that's getting ready to go to Saskatchewan. The in PEA, when it first came out, was looking at hot leach, and we're sending those samples up to Saskatchewan to see if we can improve upon that process at all. Their flotation would be a lot less energy intensive, and we think that we can possibly float the material, reduce our operating costs by doing that. But until we run our tests, we're not for sure on that.
You know, Michael, I know this is a forward-looking statement, or it's going to be a forward-looking statement on your part, but I want to ask the question anyway, and I'm going to identify this thing right now as definitely being a forward-looking statement. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, past performance is absolutely no indicator of future results. But if you were to predict, okay, number one, the possibility of your properties down there actually going into potash production, what probability would you give that, Michael?
Well, I think if you put a time frame on it, it becomes a little more difficult. I would certainly put this in the high 80s, that at some point in time, this property is absolutely going to go mm-hmm. into production. You know, the crunch becomes somewhat of the time frame on that, whether that's next year or 20 years from now. That's where my crystal ball breaks down a little bit. Fully anticipate that at some point in time, people will be mining in the Holbrook Basin.
Why do you give this such a high level of certainty? This is just Michael's opinion, and I have to say I share that opinion, having been down to the property.
Well, the big part about this is the infrastructure and the shallowness of the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you look at the infrastructure here, and there are so many things that you don't have to do that many of the competing properties in other parts of the world, you don't have to put in the highways, you don't have to put in the railroads, you don't have to put in the electricity. And all these things play a huge part into that. Plus that, certainly the stability in the United States is far different than the stability in other parts of the world. And it makes this so much more attractive. Plus, just as you alluded to, look at the deficit between 1 million tons production and what we import. And that makes it very lucrative for a company to come in to mine out the deposit.
Yeah. I have to say that I agree with what you're saying. You know, you guys are putting me in an interesting position in that you're really increasing my knowledge about what I think is a very important segment of our economy, and that is obviously the agricultural sector. I think, you know, when people realize the importance of the agricultural sector to our economy, when people realize the importance of potash, I think that shows further, to me anyway, that if you want to invest in the resource industry, diversification is really important, and don't rule out things like this. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't construe any of this as investment advice. It is not. I'm simply telling you about a company that I am involved in. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
America, pay attention. Don't wait for the next natural disaster or fight for global domination to prepare yourself with Chef 5-Minute Meals. These delicious self-heating home-style meals are 5-year shelf-stable and require no water, no refrigeration, no microwave. Tasty enough for Rachel Ray, tough enough for the apocalypse. Get yours at chef5mm.com or call 888-959-6502. Don't depend on the government. Be ready. Chef, the number 5mm.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Here to close out the final two segments of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report, I've got John McCoach with me. John is the president of the TSX Venture Exchange. He's been involved in the resource sector for as long as I've known him, which is too many years. I'll tell you, John, you and I are getting too old, my friend. But I ran into John last Tuesday at a golf tournament that the TSX Venture and the Toronto Stock Exchange put on as was a charity event. We're going to talk about that later. But prior to getting into what the various exchanges in Canada, how they return to the community, for lack of better terms, we're going to talk a little bit about the resource sector in general as it is represented on both the TSX Venture Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange. Now, the reason I wanted to do this with John is because I am firmly convinced that the resource sector vis-a-vis the stocks is going to come back. Not going to ask John to comment about that because in his capacity it really wouldn't be appropriate for him to do that, but you all know how I feel. But we're going to talk a little bit about the types of companies that are listed on the TSX Venture Exchange. We're going to talk about the qualifications sophistication of the various management members of these companies. And I think it'll be something that you guys and gals will be very, very interested in and find to be very informative. John, first of all, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Al. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I got started in this crazy business back in 1982, and, you know, the old Vancouver Stock Exchange was a horse of a different color back in those days. Today, I believe that we have a very, very sophisticated group of companies, for the most part, that are involved in your universe. Can you make some comments on that?
I agree with you. I think a lot of things have changed since the 80s. You're a relative newcomer. I started in the business in 1981, and I worked with a lot of public companies in the brokerage industry, and I worked a little bit of time. I spent a little bit of time in market surveillance at the stock exchange,
right?
Then back to the brokerage industry. So, seen a lot of interesting characters in this business, a lot of interesting companies, and I agree with your observation that the market's matured a lot, and there's some very sophisticated entrepreneurs running a lot of companies now, and some of them have done very well for their shareholders.
Well, you know, you make a comment about me being a relative newcomer in the industry. I actually have been involved in the industry first working for a consulting firm in Portland, Oregon since 1978, and then I started my firm in the October of 1982. And not trying to correct you, just showing everybody that I'm a late bloomer. I didn't start in this industry until I was like 36, and I think that you are significantly younger than you were, I guess I should say, significantly younger than that when you first got started. But, you know, the one comment I would have to make is even going back to the 80s, you know, when we had Don Hudson, who, when I did media work for the exchange, Don was the president, Dave Londe was the vice president of the exchange. You know, those guys were constantly going in the direction of raising the bar for the member company, or the listed companies, I guess I should say. And I think when all is said and done, they were very, very successful in doing that. And I think that change probably really, really became obvious probably in 1998, 1999. Since then, I think it's been, you know, the evolution has been very, very positive.
I agree with you. I think the Vancouver Stock Exchange did a lot of very positive things to improve the market, give shareholders a fair chance. But like other things in life, you know, it's our reputation is so easy to lose and so difficult to get back.
You bet.
It just weren't able to get past some of the legacy issues and the perceptions. And so when the Vancouver Stock Exchange closed in 1999 and we kind of had a fresh start in mm-hmm. the junior capital market in Canada, it allowed sort of really that. It allowed a bit of a fresh start with other structural changes that were very important, but to continue what those people had started and worked hard for.
Well, let's talk about the change that occurred at that time. Can you be a little more specific, John?
Well, starting in 1998, there was a lot of discussions in the exchange business in Canada, and essentially, it started with discussions about the Alberta Stock Exchange and the Vancouver Stock Exchange merging. Very quickly in those conversations, and I should say I was just fortunate to have been in the right place at the right time, or at least I think so, so that I was actually at the table on those discussions, which was a fascinating period for me. Those discussions quickly turned into this is more than just about putting two exchanges together. It was an opportunity to create a national platform to support early stage public companies across Canada. And so that was the focus pretty much on day two. That at the same time, the Montreal Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange were talking about sort of what made sense on carving up the senior market and the derivatives business. So that all came together very quickly, and by the end of 1999, the landscape was entirely different. We had the Toronto Stock Exchange focused on the senior cash equities in Canada, the Bourse de Montréal focused on derivatives, and what was then called the Canadian Venture Exchange that was created out of all of the junior markets in Canada, including Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, the juniors in Montreal, and the over-the-counter market in Ontario. That created the Canadian Venture Exchange.
Yeah.
And in 2001, the Toronto Stock Exchange actually acquired the Canadian Venture Exchange, which is now the TSX Venture Exchange. So that's the short version of the history.
You know, one comment that I would have to make is, as you know, I was spent 30 years basically doing regulatory work for Canadian companies, and interestingly enough, primarily Canadian mining companies. And the regulatory work consisted of interfacing between the companies themselves and the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States. Well, throughout that exercise, I also became very, very familiar with the lower echelon of companies in the United States, companies that would trade on the bulletin board, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to tell you, and I say this in all due candor, and that is the regulations in Canada since at least 1999, and probably even before that, but I can state categorically that since 1999, 2000, in that area, you've got some much more stringent regulations up there than we had in the United States for quite some time. In the junior sector.
Yeah, our exchange takes a different approach than most, if not almost all, exchanges in the world, in that we're very, there's a lot of oversight of the activities, the corporate activities that the listed companies can do. Mm-hmm. Now, that comes at a cost. And there's a burden that's put on these companies, and for the most part, they would tell you that it's an expensive burden, but I think our listed companies would say that they, I know they would say, they told us many times in many ways that they wouldn't really have it any other way.
Right.
Because without that regulated junior market, the companies at this stage of development would not have the access to capital that they've enjoyed in the last decade or more, or the liquidity that they can get in our market. Not at all times, of course. Market cycles come and go. But I think also the biggest change for us is a focus on vetting people and the technology that we have been able to acquire in the last 10 years to check backgrounds of people. Because looking at dilution calculations or related party transactions and that sort of oversight is important, but getting comfortable with the people that are participating in your market is the most important thing that we can do as an exchange, particularly for early stage companies.
Well, life is all about people. Business is all about people. There's no question about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a real quick break. Stick around. I'm going to be back to wrap up the show with John.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a 6-month supply and get 3 Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cookpot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply, free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, back to wrap up the show with John McCoach. You know, I want to say one thing, and that is the Carlin family has a huge, huge passion for the junior sector, particularly the Canadian junior sector. You know, I've made my living in that area for over 30 years. Our youngest daughter works in that area as an office manager for a group of public companies. Actually, our middle daughter produces this show, as listeners are aware, and the show is pretty much, you know, we don't focus necessarily on the junior sector, but we probably devote at least a third of every program, maybe as much as a half, to the resource sector. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be doing that if this area hasn't been something that I have found to be more than just a little bit interesting, to say the least. You know, one of the reasons I'm saying that is the TSX Venture Exchange and the Toronto Stock Exchange really try to give back to their communities. And when I say their communities, I'm not just talking about Vancouver, but I'm talking about all of Canada. You know, I played in a golf tournament last Tuesday where John and I struck up another conversation, and I was so impressed with this. By the way, this tournament was sponsored totally by was basically the headline, the organizer, I guess is the best way to put it, was the TSX Venture and the Toronto Stock Exchange. These guys raised over $100,000 for the following categories of people, not only in Vancouver, where I played in the tournament, but nationwide and internationally. The three categories of people were, number one, sight-challenged people, number two, learning-disabled people, and number three, people in other parts of the world, distressed parts of the world, where they couldn't afford libraries. The Toronto Stock Exchange and the TSX Venture put together a golf tournament. Those three sectors got, I believe, in excess of $100,000, and they do this every single year. Number one, why do you guys do that, John?
Well, I think it's important. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the kind words. It really is an honor for us to do that. It's not a chore. It's important to bring the community together in each of the cities that we operate, because it really is about working together as a community to make the capital markets work. And it's also It's not our idea to give back to charity. I've found in my 30 years in this business that the people who are fortunate to be successful in this business do give back, and I've seen that the entire time I've been in the business. So we're just sort of following their lead, really, and it makes everybody really sort of feel good about coming together and doing more than just making money.
Well, I agree 1,000% on that. I keep stressing here, and one of the reasons I want to talk about this particular tournament is the fact that it's all about doing what's right. It's all about doing not something to make yourself more money or not something to make yourself look good in front of a group of people, but it's all about doing what's right in the community. You know, John, I got to tell you, I spent a fair amount of time during that tournament talking, and the reason I did, quite frankly, is because my wife, as I told you, is a retired occupational therapist. She's worked with challenged children all of her career, etc., etc. So I was very interested in talking to, as I mentioned, the two gals who were, if I'm not mistaken, from the Yukon, who were working with learning disabled kids, not only in the Yukon, but also in British Columbia. I was very interested in chatting with the sightless young man who has taken his life and totally turned it around by helping other people, including himself, and the list goes on. But it's none of these people are doing this for any profit motive. Damn it, they're doing it because they want to make a difference in society, right?
Yeah, the sightless young man that was there was Donovan Tidsley.
Yeah,
and wasn't he great?
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
Your listeners may be interested to know he was on a putting green, and this was his words, not mine, but he put up a challenge to beat the blind guy.
Yeah,
and the customers just loved it, and I understand he was a pretty good putter.
Well, he did that, and he was also on a tee box where he had another beat the blind guy deal. When our foursome got to that tee box, it was really interesting because two of the guys beat the blind guy, and we're all pretty decent golfers, and two of the guys didn't. But I spent a fair amount of time talking with Donovan, and he is, boy, I got to tell you, he's a formidable guy to deal with in the sense that he doesn't consider himself to be disadvantaged at all. But, but getting back to the importance of this thing, we see so much verbiage, or I guess media coverage in the United States of, capitalism is bad, capitalism is all cap. I mean, I've actually got friends who have made the comment all capitalists are dishonest, et cetera, et cetera. And, John, I got to tell you, bud, going to that tournament just really, really, put my faith back into not only our industry, but put my faith back into the concept of capitalism. I mean, at the dinner, as an example, when one of the guys in the audience stood up and made the comment, we were doing I think it's called a reverse drawing or whatever, and the winner of that drawing was gonna take home $3,500, $4,000, whatever. And some guy in the audience, when we were down to three tickets, a fellow in the audience stood up and he said, I'm here to say I will donate to the charities $10,000 right now if you people holding those last three tickets agree, if you win, to donate all of your money to the charities. I mean, I got to tell you, man, that says something, don't you think?
That was quite an emotional moment, wasn't it? It was great.
Well,
very, very generous. I won't mention the individual's name.
No.
Because I haven't asked him if he would like to do that, but they... I was very impressed.
Yeah, I think we all were. I mean, it really, I got home that night and I didn't let Kathy go to bed because I had to tell her blow by blow what happened at that thing. John, we got 3 minutes or so left here. What's the future of the TSX Venture Exchange?
Well, I think it's very positive. Natural resource companies are facing a challenging time, particularly in the mining industry and even more specifically the junior miners. And, they've enjoyed a really a good run, and they in 2009, 2010, and 11. But it has been a bit more challenging in the last couple of years, particularly in the last year.
Yep.
But as long as you know you believe that there's going to be a demand for commodities and this sector will come back. But our market is more than just natural resource companies as well. Like the technology sector is getting a lot of attention right now, and some of these companies are doing very, very well. So it's all about, as you say, the capital markets are so important to giving back to the community, but the junior capital markets are also very important for the economy at large, because these are the companies, when they're successful, that create the jobs. Like one of the things that I'm most proud about of our marketplace is the number of companies that have gone on from our market to the Toronto Stock Exchange and grown to be some of Canada's largest companies.
Right.
For example, about 600 companies have graduated from our junior market to our senior market in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, many are now in the TSX S&P Composite Index, which is, you know, arguably the largest, you know, most liquid companies in Canada. And about 20% of that index is made up of companies that started off on our junior market.
Well, you know, it's a pure and simple fact that the advantage that the TSX Venture Exchange has over many exchanges, or over the lower tier, I guess I should say, in the United States, is companies do get a chance. They can go out and they can raise small amounts of money through private placements. That capital infusion can allow those companies then to grow and contribute not only to the immediate environment that they're in, but also to the world. I mean, I got to tell you, my friend, I have seen over the past 33, 34 years, I have seen some incredibly successful companies that would have never gotten there were it not for the capital raising ability of the junior exchanges in Canada. John, thank you so much for your time. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed this week's show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of healthcare can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.